If you are listening to this program this morning, the Lord has given you a new year. We wish you blessings in this new year to come of 2020. And the question that I ask for you this morning is, how will you use your opportunities to serve God this year and be in a right relationship with Him? Thank you for joining us on the Let the Bible Speak program. And we want to talk about opportunity. The good Lord above has given you a new year and a new opportunity. Will you use it to better yourself and have a right relationship with Him? The word opportunity is not really used that many times in Scripture. Depending upon which version you're using, it's found in the New Testament only. And it's not found many times, about six times in the New Testament. The word means a time, a favorable circumstance, a set of circumstances that makes it possible for doing something. And the fact that God has given us a new year, He has given us more opportunity to serve Him and to be right with Him. And I want to encourage you this morning to do that. How a person makes use of his opportunity will determine how he lives his life and ultimately his eternal destiny. And so we want to look at this subject of opportunity. Sometimes opportunity is personified as a person knocking at a door. Opportunity knocks. And when it knocks, will you open that door and walk through and be right with God? I want to look at these occasions of how opportunity is used in the New Testament and learn some lessons from them. And then we'll consider the importance of buying up the opportunities that we have, using them and not ignoring them. What will you do with this new year that God has given you? The first place where opportunity is found in Scripture regards Judas, one of the 12 apostles. If you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 16. Judas was chosen to be one of the 12 apostles to be with Jesus, and this is a great opportunity to spend about 3 years with Jesus, learning from Him. Think about the honor and the privilege that that would have been to be one of the 12 apostles. And what did Judas choose to do with it right at the end? Well, we know that Judas is the one who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And Matthew records in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 14, then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they weighed unto him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he, Judas, sought opportunity to deliver him, Jesus, unto them. Judas sought an opportunity to deliver Jesus unto them. We read the same thing in Luke 22 and verse 6. Here's a situation where you can seek out opportunities to make it happen. Sometimes opportunities are under our control. We can choose the time and the place and the circumstances and the situation. And that's what Judas did. Later, he brings those who arrest Jesus, he brings them to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He kisses Jesus. He betrays him with a kiss. He knew where Jesus would be. He selected the time and the place and the circumstances. He sought an opportunity. My question this morning is, are you going to be seeking opportunities to obey God and serve God this year better than you have in the past? Will you make a purposeful plan to select the time and the place and the circumstances to better your service to God? You're in control in some regards of your opportunities. You can make things happen. And we should with regard to God. A second way that we find opportunity used in the New Testament is found when Paul is on trial before Agrippa in Acts chapter 25 and 26. And we read there where Festus, the Roman governor, had brought Paul before Agrippa, and he's recounting the events leading up to this particular trial and Paul's defense. And Luke records in Acts 25 and verse 16, Festus is talking, "To whom I answered that it is not the custom of the Romans to give up any man before that the accused have the accusers face to face and have had opportunity to make his defense concerning the matter laid against him." Opportunity is being used here in the sense of a plan that normally happens, a circumstance that normally happens in a trial. There is normally an opportunity where the accused have the accusers meet him face to face. That is a normal circumstance or opportunity. It is set up. It's a regular thing that is found in the court system. And we have that even today. So here, opportunity is being used in the sense of a regular situation that comes about that is ordinary and normal under certain circumstances. This particular opportunity is going to take place. When you go to a store and you pick out your items that you want to buy, there's going to be an opportunity to pay for them when you leave. That's just the normal thing to do. When you go to a restaurant and order some food in a few minutes, there's going to be an opportunity for you to eat. That's what normally happens after you order your food. So, situations, opportunities that normally happen under a given circumstance. And you need to know, friend, that there are going to be some regular, normal opportunities for you to make your life right with God. For example, we meet every Sunday and Wednesday at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, where you have a regular, normal opportunity to hear the Word of God and obey the gospel and be right. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. We would love to have you. That's a regular service. With the exception of inclement weather, we're always going to be open. Our doors are always open. We don't close. We're open when other people aren't. We were open New Year's night, this past Wednesday night. My understanding is that some churches were closed that day. We were open. And we're open between holidays. We're open between Christmas and Easter. Come visit with us. There are people who will attend a church service at certain holidays or just a few times a year. We're open every week. And we would encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity. You'll have an opportunity every week to come and worship God. That's just a regular thing. And I would encourage you to take advantage of that. Sometimes opportunities are those things in the future that we don't know the specifics about. We don't know the exact time or place or situation or person that's going to make up the opportunity. But when it shows up, we need to be prepared. Let's look at a couple of examples in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 12, when Paul is writing about some of the activities of different Christians and what they're going to be doing as they work with Paul. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 12, talking about Apollos, Paul writes, "But as touching Apollos the brother, I besought him much to come unto you with the brethren, and it was not at all his will to come now, but he will come when he shall have opportunity." We see the same thing in Galatians 6 and verse 10. Paul writes, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, and especially toward them that are of the household of the faith." As we have opportunity. Those are going to be things that show up in the future, and when they show up, we don't have it now, but when we have an opportunity in the future, we're going to do what we need to do. We're going to do good unto all men, especially those that are of the household of the faith. And when the opportunity presented itself to Apollos, he would come to Corinth. So, opportunity is used in this sense of that which the future holds that we may not know. But when it comes about, we need to do the right thing. And opportunities will present themselves to you this year, friend. One of those opportunities is right now. As you're hearing this program, and you're to be commended for being interested in spiritual things on a Saturday morning with this Let the Bible Speak program. And we have those who regularly tune in every week, and we're grateful for you doing that. We're trying to provide opportunities every week to hear the Word of God, to let the Bible speak to our lives today. And when those opportunities show up, what will you do with them? What will I do with them? Let's look at another way in which opportunity is used. Sometimes we want to do something, but we lack the opportunity to do it. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. There may be something going on where we can't do what we want to do right now. There's some limitation that is keeping us from doing that. And that happens from time to time. Paul writes about one of those with regard to the Philippian brethren. They wanted to support him. They wanted to be encouraging to him and take care of him. And he writes in Philippians 4 and verse 10, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your thought for me, wherein you did indeed take thought, but you lacked opportunity." Later, he talks about how they did send money to him when he was in Macedonia. And he says, "When I departed from Macedonia, no church had fellowship with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you only, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once again into my need." So they did have that opportunity then, but back in verse 10, they did not. Or whatever else it was they were wanting to care for in Paul, they lacked that opportunity. But on that note, with regard to personal things in life, we may lack the opportunity. We may lack the opportunity to buy something for our children right now because we don't have the money. We may lack the opportunity to go in for a checkup at the doctor. We may lack an opportunity to fix something that is broken. But with regard to our relationship with God, the door is always open. We can come to Him at any time. We can read our Bible any time. And we need to take advantage of that. And then last of all, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15, if you'll turn with me there, opportunity is used in an interesting way to talk about opportunities that come about because of what our mind is set on. What you have your mind set on brings about opportunities that match up with those goals in your mind. So if God is not one of your goals, then you're not going to have the opportunity to obey Him. If that's not something on your radar, so to speak, something that is not on your mind, then you're not going to make that happen. and you're going to neglect opportunities to be right with God. What we have our mind set on works to bring about opportunities to fulfill those goals. And here's an example in Hebrews chapter 11, and this is the last example of the word opportunity in the New Testament. Talking about Abraham and other Old Testament worthies of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And with regard to Abraham and Sarah, they were called out of the Ur of the Chaldees to leave their homeland. God called them to come into the land of Palestine and sojourn there. They would have a family. A large nation would come from him, and that's where the Jewish nation would come about. And God wanted them to have that land and that nation for their own. So he calls Abraham on a very long trip over to Palestine. And look at what the Hebrew writer says. He describes them as sojourners and pilgrims in verse 13, Hebrews 11, 14. For they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. And if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. If Abraham had been mindful of wanting to go back to the Ur of the Chaldees, if that's what his goal was, if that's what his priority was, if that's what he had put all of his thinking into, he would have had plenty of opportunity to return, and he would have done that. What our mind is set on often makes up the opportunities that we're going to bring about in our life. That wasn't his mindset to return home. That's why he didn't go back. He had his mind on a heavenly country to serve God and obey God as a sojourner and a pilgrim in a land not his own, and to die faithfully and go and be in a heavenly country, a heavenly city whose builder and maker is God, back in verse 10. So, your mind often dictates your opportunities, and our mind this new year needs to be set on serving God, obeying God, being pleasing to God, and those opportunities will show up to fulfill those very things. We're talking about opportunities in this new year that God has given us. What a great thing that we have in our hands, and let us use it wisely while we have time. We don't know if we'll make it through the whole year. We don't know if Jesus will come again. We don't know if we'll pass from this life. Let's use our opportunity now while we have it. In the remainder of our time this morning and our study on opportunity, I wanted to talk a little bit about a couple of things. First of all, opportunities may be abused. Secondly, opportunities may be ignored or slighted. And then last of all, opportunities need to be sought out and fulfilled. Number one, we might abuse our opportunities. Using that example that we looked at earlier with regard to Judas, he was called to be an apostle. He had a great opportunity to be with the Lord and learn from him and be one of his representatives or ambassadors to go into all the world. But he abused that opportunity. He used it selfishly for himself to get money for betraying Jesus. And he fulfills Psalm 41 and verse 9 that my familiar friend has lifted up his heel against me. He got close to Jesus and used that, abused that for his own purposes. And then he ended up dying in despair. He had remorse for what he had done, Matthew 27, 3 through 10, brought the money back, threw it down, went out and hung himself. But he abused his opportunity. He used and abused it for his own selfish gain. Let us not do that. Let us not abuse the opportunities that God gives us, but use them for his service. A second thing that we find with regard to opportunity is that opportunities can be slighted or dismissed and ignored. And Jesus teaches a parable about that very thing. How that his heavenly Father is like a man who makes a great feast and invites people to come into the kingdom, like inviting them to come to a great feast. And when we come to Jesus Christ and we have forgiveness of sins and all the spiritual blessings, it's indeed like eating a feast. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 22 teaches this parable of this marriage feast, but the invitation, the opportunity is slighted. Matthew 22 verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, God, who made a marriage feast for his son, Jesus, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the marriage feast, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them that are bidden, behold, I have made ready my dinner, and my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it, my version says. And they went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his merchandise, and the rest laid hold on his servants and treated them shamefully and killed them. They made light of it and went on their way. There are those, and we read about, for example, in the book of Acts, there are many different places in the book of Acts where the gospel is preached to individuals, and some just simply slight their opportunities. They ignore it. They're not interested. Some get violently opposed, but others just ignore it. And they don't want to have anything to do with it. In Acts chapter 13, for example, when Paul was preaching in Antioch, he preaches in a synagogue and he's preaching that remission of sins is through Jesus Christ. Well, some of the Jews didn't want that. They were satisfied in their religion. They didn't want to change. And some did. Some followed Paul. Some obeyed the gospel. But in Acts 13, verse 44, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city was gathered together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with jealousy and contradicted the things which were spoken by Paul in blaspheme. And Paul and Barnabas spake out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, seeing you thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. We're going to go to people who do want it. If you don't want it, if you thrust it from you, you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Your blood is on your own hands. Some don't want it. The same thing happened with Paul at Corinth in Acts chapter 18. And he said, your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. When he preached before Felix in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, Felix said, when I have a convenient season, I will call for you. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, King Agrippa said, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. You see, people have opportunities to obey, but they choose not to. Friend, don't ever slight the opportunities that God gives you to obey, where you just walk on your way, walk away, and do nothing about it. That's the easy thing. That's the simple thing. That's the thing that doesn't require any sacrifice or commitment or service or change. But that's the devil's way. Take each opportunity to obey. Never put it off. Never slight it. Never just walk away. Consider it as nothing. So opportunities can be abused. Opportunities can be slighted. But we want to close on a positive note, and that is that opportunities can be sought out to do great things with God and Jesus. We can look for those opportunities to be right with God. We can seek them out and admit them, not ignore them. And those opportunities will bring us to God and Jesus. I like the statement in John chapter 12, verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those that went up to worship at the feast. These therefore came to Philip, who was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip comes and tells Andrew. Andrew comes and Philip, and they tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Sirs, we would see Jesus." Now that is somebody who is seeking out an opportunity to be right. Jesus said that if we will seek, we will find. If we will knock, it will be open. If we ask, it will be given. And so we need to have that attitude, that right attitude toward the proper use of opportunities. Also in the book of Acts, there were individuals who obeyed the gospel because they were already seekers. Cornelius had been praying to God. Later, he obeys the gospel. Lydia, with others down by the riverside in Acts 16, had been worshiping God. She later obeys the gospel. There were devout persons present on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and some 3,000 of them were baptized into Christ. These are people who are seeking opportunities, making them happen. Sirs, we would see Jesus. And that needs to be our approach in life. What a great thing that God has given us a new year. And by God's grace and blessing and providence, we have a grand opportunity before us to be right with Him. Let us not abuse our opportunities or slight them, but seek them out and make that happen. Have our minds set on what we want to do, and that opportunity will come about. There are regular opportunities this year for you to be right with God, starting today. Seek out those opportunities to be right with God. If it's a matter of contacting us, call us at 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. Come by and visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard. We would love to have you. Let's get together and use this year as the opportunity to change our life and be right with God. Thank you for joining us, and have a good day.